Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to the programme. We'll take you through the day's main news in the next half hour. So coming up, how will the upcoming minimum wage rise shape young people's chances of getting a job? We hear what it could mean for the next generation. Also tonight, with the Commonwealth Games on the horizon, what are the feelings in the team preparing to send Manx athletes to Glasgow next year? The TT rider Conor Cummins opens up about the challenges, the risks and rewards of launching his very own race team. And 40 years on, the ale that went on to inspire that iconic bottle-shaped car. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
The effects of the impending increase to the Alamance minimum wage has been under scrutiny once more, this time when it comes to the impact it could have on job opportunities. Sue Cook from Junior Achievement Isle of Man believes it will change employers' pay structure and apprenticeship offerings.
A lot of smaller businesses are not taking apprentices on because they can't afford to pay a full salary.
A survey of over 90 Manx businesses found more than half believe they'll have to make cutbacks or redundancies next year. The data has been compiled by the Local Economy Forum following a public meeting to discuss the upcoming increase to the minimum wage. Manx TT competitor Conor Cummins says blood, sweat and tears must go into his new racing team to make it a reality. The Ramsey man has set up Conrod Motorsport, named after his own business, to take on the 2026 Isle of Man TT races. In international news, politicians are calling for an investigation into Russian interference in British politics after a former leader of Reform in Wales was jailed for taking bribes from Moscow. Nathan Gill, who's 52, has been sentenced to over 10 years in prison for accepting £4,000 to make pro-Russia statements. And as the Ukrainians work on a counter-proposal to a US-backed peace plan to end the war with Russia, their president has addressed his people. Volodymyr Zelensky expects more to come under more pressure over the next week to agree to the deal.
This is one of the hardest moments in our history. The pressure on Ukraine today is among the heaviest we have ever faced.
And Wetherspoons is opening its first pub in continental Europe. Travellers at Alicante Airport in Spain will be able to stop for a drink there to the end of January. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing, and no weather warnings for the first time, I think, this week. Dry and cloudy to start with this evening. Rain is going to arrive overnight. That is going to be heavy for a time. Those southwest winds will become strong overnight as well. Temperatures no lower than 7. Then tomorrow, fine and sunny to start with, but the cloud will increase in the afternoon. Showery outbreaks of rain later. Moderate winds, they will fall lighter later, and top temperatures tomorrow will be around 10. And it's going to be unsettled on Sunday with showers or longer spells of rain.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614-841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 4.5 minutes past five. So the government's decision to postpone the planned scrapping of the MyCard system represents a real significant shift. Emergency talks were held by the Council of Ministers after it became apparent the proposals risked a second defeat in a single Tim Wald sitting. The revised plan will now keep MyCards in place for an extra 12 months. And while supporters say this provides time to implement improvements, critics suggest it may only delay the search for a long-term solution, as Christian Christian Jones reports.
Around 730 people still use their MyCards to collect pensions or benefits and don't have access to a bank account for whatever reason. It's not a new issue, though. It was first raised in the House of Keys in October last year, but it took the final 15 hours and the threat of another government defeat for the Council of Ministers to return to the drawing board and produce an alternative. Backbenchers have welcomed the move and did not hold back in their criticism, but they're also clear that this is not a long-term answer. Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Jason Morehouse first pressed ministers on the matter a little over a year ago and maintains his concern it was down to the wire.
Shouldn't that have been done weeks ago when we knew there were issues? So we're really concerned that we have got a short-term solution, but the next big issue is going to arise after the next election. So it's been a case of passing the buck on and seeing what the next group of people do, which I don't feel is a correct solution to a problem that's been ongoing for so long.
Douglas East MHK, Joni Farragher. Your MyCard motion caused quite a stir. Did you expect that?
I knew that there was a high level of support and I knew that there was a high level of feeling among members. But what I didn't expect was the Council of Ministers' request to adjourn, then the subsequent climb down amendment, I suppose, is what I would call it. Although I must give the Council of Ministers some respect and acknowledgement of the fact that they have essentially U-turned on this, and that is because there was such a strength of feeling in the room. They finally read the room.
So with Treasury now granted an extra 12 months of breathing space, or possibly less, as these cards will outlast the current administration, does the minister accept that the government's handling of the fallout was too lax?
What's been seen in this sitting, Timewald, is some real concerns from people representing their constituents about this. From a government perspective, we're responding to those calls from Timewald members to continue the system, to continue the work that we've been doing to develop alternatives for it as well, but manage that transition over a longer time period.
And why was it in the last 15 hours that suddenly a solution was found? Because this issue is not a new one.
We've had a number of solutions that have been going through commercial negotiations with various bodies, including the Alaman Post Office. I mean, it was quite clear with the strength of feeling in Timewald and the demands. So we've re-engaged with the Alaman Post Office to make absolutely certain that that could be delivered in time, and they've confirmed that.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, ending that report there on the MyCard U-turn that happened yesterday. 7.5 minutes past five. Well, the leader of the Isle of Man Green Party says rejecting the North and West Area Plan was the right decision to make. This week, Timewald rejected that proposal, delivering a blow to government only weeks after it was first defeated by LegCo. Chanel Suku has more details.
In a written statement to Manx Radio, Andrew Langan-Newton says the evidence did not support the government's proposals for new greenfield housing in the north and west of the island. He said Timewald's decision gives the government an opportunity to step back and reflect on wider policy for the whole island, particularly in light of the high number of vacant properties and the need to prioritise brownfield development over greenfield, with a focus on regenerating town and village centres. Mr. Langan-Newton adds that having heard the statements in Timewald, the government could also reconsider its wider policy on introducing an infrastructure levy for large greenfield developments. Such a levy, he suggests, could be used to improve active travel links in urban areas. He says this might help offset additional pressure on the highway network and narrow the profitability gap between greenfield and brownfield development, steering investment away from the greenfield sites and towards brownfield regeneration. The party says it would welcome a revised plan with a stronger emphasis on renewable energy, active travel, electric vehicles and public transport links.
Chanel Suku reporting. It's coming up to 9 minutes past five. So is the minimum wage rise going to affect young people's chances of getting a job? Well, representatives of Junior Achievement Isle of Man have been talking to the Timewald Youth Committee and believe it will change employers' pay structures and apprenticeship offerings. Sue Cook and Julia Callow spoke to a number of students about their concerns.
At the moment, it's obviously still a little bit where it's going ahead. But yes, I think the minimum wage is impacting because we are seeing the salary of those people who are not minimum wage hasn't increased an awful lot. So the gap between the lower end and that sort of semi-skilled or unskilled people is getting closer. And so, you know, for somebody who is maybe 17 and almost 18, and if you've got a company who I've got somebody at 25, they are generally going that way. So I think it is making it harder for the younger people. Other jurisdictions often stagger that gap of the minimum wage where it goes up sort of from the 18 to 20 and then the 20 to 22 or the, you know, where it goes up in sort of steps up to the age of 25. So I think it is impacting, and it is also impacting on things like apprenticeships and that type of thing as well.
Which jurisdictions?
UK for one. They've always had, you know, in previous times they've always had a sort of a stepping where the minimum wage from 18 has a little bit of a step up. Without looking it up, I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but I'm aware that the UK has had that.
And we do think that apprenticeships will be severely impacted. That's our feeling, because on the site you can advertise any type of vacancy. You can advertise volunteering, you can advertise apprenticeships. We've made it really, really open, and we know that a lot of smaller businesses are not taking apprentices on because they can't afford to pay a full salary when the person is not qualified or able to do the job.
That's Julia Callow and Sue Cook talking to the Tynwald Youth Committee about those changes to the minimum wage coming up next year. Coming up to 11 minutes past five here on Update, and those getting behind Team Isle of Man to next year's Commonwealth Games in Glasgow are really expecting a very different feel to the event compared to previous times. And what's more, as Team Isle of Man's chef de mission, Erica Bellhouse, explains, there are still some unknowns and challenges to navigate, including matters like qualifying standards, logistics and medical provisions.
Because of the changes, which is nobody's fault, obviously the change of venue very late on meant a change in games, a change in look. We didn't actually know if there would be a games for so long. And then when finally we did find out that there was a games, obviously we didn't know which sports were going to be involved. There were rumours, and it's very difficult to manage the athletes' expectation. And we kind of feel that really strongly from our point of view. And we don't want to raise hopes, but we also don't, we need to keep a dream alive. So it has been very difficult to manage this time, if I'm honest. We are in a position now where the vast majority of the sports do have standards in place, and they should have been communicated in at this point. It's very much with the sports. They're communicating with their athletes. They're dealing with them day to day and managing that expectation. Being honest, there are a couple of sports, again, outside of our control. There's still a few bits and pieces that are being ironed out by CGF, which I know doesn't help athletes. And it is frustrating. And we see those frustrations and hear them. Hopefully, you know, we're making ourselves accessible as we can. We've got an absolutely fantastic athletes rep, Grace Harrison, who is working her way through at the moment, trying to speak to long list athletes just to try and help them through the process, because we do understand that it's difficult and uncertain for them.
So there's still a few questions yet to be answered as well, but from a wider logistical side of things, what has that meant for trying to prepare things such as travel and accommodation?
Yeah, well, as I say, the games will look different. There's going to be less of a village feel, and athletes will not have the ability to stay there for quite as long as they have in the past. There are going to be some changes in terms of kind of how we provide medical provision. These are all the things that are going on in the background that we're just trying to get answers to.
That is Erica Bellhouse talking to Rob there.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing on the police page. It's a mountain road shut until midday tomorrow. It should reopen then because the weather looks like it's going to be much better tomorrow. And all okay down at the airport, just a couple of little delays. The Manxman due into Douglas just before six, heading out again at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's coming up to 14 minutes past five. And 40 years ago this month, the first Bushy's Ale was brewed in the basement of Shivago's Bar in Victoria Street in Douglas. And four decades on, there are plans to move the brewery to Castletown, and also talk of a book being published as well. The founder, Martin Brunschweiler, says his family lived in the UK, but often came over to the island for his father's work. And in the mid-1980s, his sister Nikki moved over here, and that is where it all started.
I'd been a chef. I'd literally just finished in Australia. Nikki was about to take on the lease at the old, it was called Zhivago's Bar at the time, where Tower Insurance is nowadays, right by the clock. And she asked if I'd come over and make some snacks for her opening weekend. It was only ever intended to be a weekend. And somehow it's
the longest weekend of...
Yeah, it's a long... One of the things which Nikki asked for at the time was she wanted wanted to put proper cask conditioned beer in the pub. They felt that they had to be considered a proper pub on the circuit. You needed proper beer. But neither of the breweries on the island at the time would supply it. At the time, it was Oakles and there was Castletown. They were the only two breweries, and neither of them would let her have it. That's, I suppose, when we started thinking about making our own. Because when I'd lived in London, by coincidence, an ex-neighbour of ours was a retired brewer. And he was developing a mini brewery with the students up in Lancaster University. And it was just a chance conversation that my dad had with this very nice chap called Peter Cole. Dad asked me if he thought he might be able to set something up on the Isle of Man. It was literally just one pomp in one bar. That was the one probably for a good 6 months or so. But there were people who didn't want to have quite so strong till that's when we introduced Bushy's Bitter. And Bushy's Bitter went on to become our biggest seller. Mm. So I brewed for nearly 5 years, and it was flat out. We were busy. I was doing the two separate brews, brewing pretty well 4 days a week, plus I was doing the kitchen at that point, and we were doing everything else, you know, that you had to do in running a pub with live bands and everything else.
And there's a book.
Correct. So we're in the process of just putting the finishing touches to a book. It's being put together with myself and John Quirk. We've got a working title of Bushy's 40 Years of Blood, Sweat and Beers. So, I think it's going to be very interesting, sort of covering all these stories for hopefully a nice trip down memory lane.
Love a pun there. Martin Brunschweiler talking to Dave Moore about the 40th anniversary of Bushy's. It's 16 minutes past five. And the Education, Sport and Culture Minister says the Southern Swimming Pool was granted £45,000 to carry out remedial work to the building. It was a response to a question in Tynwald this week, and the Minister, Daphne Kane, confirmed the pool board was responsible for the maintenance and scheduling of those works.
The department does not manage or operate the Southern Swimming Pool. As per the statement issued by the Southern Swimming Pool team in October, they advised that the closure for maintenance during the October half term was the least disruptive time for school swimming lessons and their own swim school. The Southern Swimming Pool Board is responsible for the management and operation of the Southern Swimming Pool, and they determine the pool's opening times and scheduling any necessary closures, taking into consideration the impact on those who use the pool.
Can the Minister confirm whether any additional funding was provided to the Southern Swimming Pool and who carried out the maintenance?
I'm not aware who carried out the work, as that was commissioned by the Southern Pool Board. The department has this year, 2025-26, allocated the Southern Pool Board the sum of £45,000 of minor capital funding. The Southern Pool Board is progressing various essential works. So far this financial year, I'm aware the minor capital funding provided by DESC has funded fire door remedial works, new lighting to the pool balcony, replacing heating valves and filter media replacements. Further minor capital works are planned this financial year to the underfloor heating controls and roof purlins. The various works I've highlighted, the fire door removal works was just over £5,000, the new lighting £1,400, replacing the heating valves £1,200 and the filter replacement £15,500.
That's the Education Minister, Daphne Kane. It's coming up to 18 minutes past five, and the Isle of Man will host the British Powerlifting Home Nations Championship for the first time next year. The island club's coach and Britain athlete Lisa Grant says it'll mean something to the sport locally to hold a competition of this calibre.
I think it really does say a lot for the lifters we're producing, the competitions and the general views and feelings of other home nations and British powerlifting as a whole, to be trusting us with such a big event and to be constantly looking at ways to include us and help us develop too.
After you host an event like this, however it pans out for the Isle of Man team, how many different pathways do you think it could maybe open up, not just for the athletes, but for Manx powerlifting as a whole, to show what you're capable of hosting and achieving?
I think it's going to be incredible to reflect on the event afterwards and see what we're, as I say, our tiny little island for our really new association can produce. And I think a lot of that is down to the amazing volunteers, the committee and the lifters that we have all fully getting involved. It's often commented on that we might be the smallest team, but we're the one with the best community. I also think that having Commonwealth next year as something for people to aim towards, putting in qualifying totals that are achievable for men and women is really helping. So we've got, I'm really excited for the team that we're going to take to Commonwealth next year.
What would it mean to you and what would it mean to Manx powerlifting if indeed we could see an Isle of Man competitor competing in powerlifting in Glasgow next year?
I think it would fill us all with immense pride to think of where we came from, just an idea of creating something that from a sport that we all loved to hosting home nations next year and having competitors in Worlds, Commonwealth Games and so much more. There's so much opportunity within this sport.
Hosting the home nations aside, what are the next things that you would like to do as an organisation?
I think one of the most exciting things we can do, and as part of our 3-year development for Manx Powerlifting, is to have a powerlifting hub, so a dedicated space for people to come and learn about the sport, compete in the sport, train for the sport, that's a bit more accessible for people. I think that's one of the issues we've highlighted as a committee, is that the sport isn't quite as accessible as it could be. So that's something we're really looking into.
That's Lisa Grant talking to Rob there. Now, the Manx TT competitor Connor Cummins says blood, sweat and tears will have to go into making his new racing team a reality for the next season. The Ramsey man has set up his own team, Comrob Motorsports, to contest next year's TT and says he's well aware of the challenges ahead to get things off the ground.
I'm going into this with my eyes wide open because money's going to make this team go round. It's as simple as that. So I appreciate that the world's in a very weird sort of place at the minute with everything, and I need backers to make this happen. I can put the infrastructure in place because I've got, over the years, I've built up some strong relationships, and I like to believe now with this taking place, I can call on those relationships that I built and put it all into practice and get us on the grid.
How much do you all, I suppose, have to accept that there is going to be a level of real graft that has to go in behind the scenes just to even get you to the start line, let alone start thinking about your racing ambitions?
Yeah, there's got to be an eyes wide open approach to this, and being totally realistic, there's going to be some blood, sweat and tears, no doubt about it, but that's what I've always done, to be honest. I'm not shy of putting the effort in. That's how I've grown my business. Obviously we've had some good help along the way with the business side of things as well. I've got a great team of people on board in that respect. So the idea is to have replicate that for my race team. Money's going to make this work or not, and I'm only going to know if I try, so I'm right up for it.
Looking forward, you don't want to plan too far ahead, but you know, do you have any other particular ideas in mind for the team, what you'd maybe like to see in the long run?
We've got to focus what's right under our noses right now, and that's getting year one dialed in and to the grid. But beyond that, I'd like to have Conrad Motorsport sitting as a go-to team for riders who want to progress from the Isle of Man to achieve getting to the grid at the TT. Beyond that, I'd like to grow it, but maybe get across the water to do some of the British Championship rounds as well. But that's a little bit pie in the sky at the minute. I just want to be totally realistic, and we'll get to the grid for TT26.
That's Connor Cummins there. We're going to stay with motorsport because the Southern 100 Supporters Club was handed two cheques worth over £4,000 last night. The Old Market Inn and fundraiser Tricia Clegg presented it to club member Rachel Palmer. The pub's co-landlord Kath Scott, Tricia and Rachel spoke to Chris Pearson.
Every year we do as much as soon as Christmas is over, we're planning for the t-shirts so we can sell the t-shirts to make as much funds for the Southern 100. Yeah. It's such a great job that they do. We've got the lovely lady who does all the little gifts and bits and pieces, Tricia. She's so good, and we're just so happy to be the springboard for her to pass her things on. And it's a lovely local community pub here. We're so happy to be able to give back to the community.
Just tell us how you go about raising your side of the funds.
Well, I try to do quite a bit of crafting. I do cards and, well, felt things, felt ornaments and things, and pom-poms and all sorts of things. Anything I can sell, actually. Light bottles.
How important is it for you to be involved here and the market all in, to be sort of involved with Southern 100?
Well, it's very important because I do it because my late husband, Gordon, when he was dying, he was in the hospice, and this was 16 years ago, he said, please keep in touch with the Southern 100 and all the boys and girls. They've all been so supportive over the years. And I said, yes, I won't forget them. I will carry on doing for them, and I have.
How
important is Market Hall to Sutton Hundred?
It's absolutely amazing. Like, you know, without all these people's donations, like, you know, this goes back into the club, it goes back into the safety equipment, everything back into making the riders safer as much as we can, yeah.
The grand total now that's been raised over the last 20 years or so is over £30,000.
It's absolutely incredible, absolutely amazing. Honestly, it's like without these people, we just couldn't run the event.
That's Rachel, Tricia and Kath talking to Chris there. And this weekend, it's the 14th Laxey Village Christmas Market. There are over 100 vendors going to be there. Rick Henthorne is the charity's chair.
So we've got our Christmas Market again, which has become quite an occasion now for Laxey, and it's taking part this weekend, which is Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd of November from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And this year we've got a new element added. We've always wanted to do something like a European outdoor market element. So in conjunction with Garth commissioners, we've been lucky enough to be able to use some of the areas of the village, including the square and the rose gardens. And we've got outdoor markets and we're really promoting local produce. And they're all going to be centred in a kind of outside food court area in the centre of the village, just next to the tram station there. So anybody who comes along actually on the tram will get free entrance into the market on both days. And both Saturday and Sunday, we have different market stalls in the Institute and it's all local crafts. Also, you can get free entry by coming on the bus from Ramsey or from Douglas. So it's £1 entry for the whole weekend and there's over 100 stalls over both the days. We also have the Santa trains running, little trains running through the tunnel, and they have some Christmas characters that are involved around the village. And also this year we have Santa in a tram in the station, so that should be great fun for kids. We've operated the charity for the benefit of the people of Laxey now for the past sort of 20 years, and it really is for Laxey Lon and kind of Mackled as a whole. And this market is a big fundraiser for us this year, and the money raised, it's all volunteer work. The money raised all goes towards maintaining the building and keeping the higher fees low. This year we've had a little bit of trouble with the roof after all the storms. We had to spend some money on the roof. We've now got a bit of trouble with a bit of water getting in. So everything raised goes towards keeping the building going. So the venues this year are obviously the Workingmen Institute, the church in the station, and also the station building. The Laxey Woolen Mills shop, of course, is open, and the art gallery. Coolroy have got a market down at the Coolroy complex, and the Heritage Railway and Anti-Cancer. So there's plenty around the village to see, and they're all people who raise money or work, you know, in a volunteer way in some way in the village. So they're all definitely worth supporting.
That is Rick Henthorne from the Laxey Working Men's Institute. That's this weekend then in Laxey, both days 10 till 4. Sport now with Rob Festermay.
Festermay, starting in football, Laxey and Onchan will face each other as two of three sides looking to guarantee themselves a spot in this year's Railway Cup competition during the latest Manx football clashes this weekend. Well, after the meeting between those two was postponed last week due to poor weather, both head into Saturday's meeting at Glen Road knowing victory could secure their spot in the tournament. Among tomorrow's other Premier League ties, top flight leaders Corinthians return to face Union Mills following a rest week, whilst defending champions Peel, who moved up to second 6 days ago, are the side without a fixture this time around. Elsewhere, the battle rumbles on between Southern rivals Castletown and Colby at the top of Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2, with just 2 points between them ahead of their latest tests. A full schedule of this weekend's football matches is available at manxradio.com. Elsewhere in football, for the second time in less than a month, FC Isle of Man are set to take on Longridge Town in the NWCFL Premier Division, with the Islanders hoping to shake off back-to-back defeats. Continuing to hover 5 points above the relegation zone, victory for FC Isle of Man tomorrow could see them move up as many as 2 places to 19th in the table. In rugby, Douglas will be looking to maintain their lofty position in Regional 2 Northwest when they head to bottom of the table Firwood Waterloo on Saturday. Elsewhere tomorrow, Vagabonds and Ramsey both face home ties respectively in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire, with the latter still searching for a first win of the season. Vagabonds ladies are on the road in Women's NC 2 North South when they take on Bury. And finally, in hockey, multiple league titles and relegations could be decided this weekend in the penultimate game week of the 2025 mixed hockey season. Among those during tomorrow's fixtures, Bakaze could clinch the mixed Premier League title if they win and nearest challengers Valkaise fail to take victory.
Goodness me, Rob, I'm exhausted listening to you. Thank you so much. Rob is now heading to the other studio as quickly as he can because he's going to have the Friday Sport Preview for you. So all the action that's happening this weekend, he'll bring that to you. At 6.30 then, Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. Jumping in with the Kane Brothers is on from 9, and then Ree will be with you from After Hours with 10. Rearrange those words into a sentence that makes sense. Update, we'll be back at 5. Have a lovely weekend. We'll talk to you then.